You're listening to DraftKings Network.
This is the Dan Levitar Show with the Stugatz Podcast.
I want to get into this back and forth between DK Metcalf and Shannon Sharp because it's a good one, a spicy one. This new media age of the stars on television get rewarded when they lure out the athletes for a fight. It's a different way of covering things. But before we do that,
$5.
That was a mean. That was not Cody. That was
upset.
That was a mean.
Yeah, Cody, you're doing pretty well today.
But I mean, really, just after testing positive for COVID, like just spit all over. Like it was not. He's drinking while
Oliver
he does
Stugatz's
it.
Oliver Stugatz's microphone.
We're in a tight. I mean, we're in a tight environment here, and he just. It's as close to a spit take as you're going to come. I mean, has been more of a disaster today than Cody. That is not easy to do.
I got to work harder.
I mean, if you want more of him coughing, wheezing, testing positive for opening night of basketball, YouTube tonight after the games, him and Tom Haberstroh will be doing an after midnight God knows what on YouTube. And also,
YouTube.com/Levitard and Friends.
Forgive me. Yes, the Levitard and Friends. Please subscribe. Please do whatever it is that you need to do so that you have some of that in your life, because we'll be popping up at various times and places. One of those places, hopefully, will be Wednesday for the Boston Red Sox game that's at 5 o'clock. Mike Schur is hoping to be able to do that on Wednesday, so we'll do one of those if we can, if Mike Schur is schedule is busy. But we want to start doing some of that stuff, second screen experiences, and Amin and Haberstroh will be doing that tonight after all of the NBA games. It's sort of like a post game show.
It's a late night with Amin El Hassan, which usually goes only one way.
Yeah, very late night.
He's not even shying away from what's coming your way.
Get ready, everybody. We're going to do this after dark. This isn't your typical post-game show, no. We're doing it a little slower.
Because you're going to be drunk, right?
Yes, I will.
All right, there we go.
With Haberstroh, after dark, $5.
I had the...
We heard it.
Oh,
it can't be a cough that the cough button can't do anything about. Will you just leave, please? Stop coughing in here and spitting up fluids in here,
it's
please.
The water.
Just leave. Just leave. Not theater of the mind. It's you just tested positive.
I love that somebody else besides me is coughing. Love it. Been waiting years for it.
Here's the backstory on Shannon Sharp and DK Metcalf. If you saw the Seattle-Pittsburgh game, any number of ways anybody could have lost, but we tend to hyper-accent the one or two dumb things toward the end that end up happening. And so there was a time management issue. DK Metcalf stayed in bounds and shouldn't have. And Shannon Sharp was critical of it. And DK Metcalf said of Shannon Sharp, "Stop questioning me, little boy. L-I-L, stop questioning me." And Shannon Sharp's response is, "Nothing to question. That was a dumbass play, and your pride won't let you admit it. You can't question anything I've done. Pray your resume will be as complete as mine. Pray. Whoa. Enjoy the rest of your day." Now, that last sentence seems insincere. Put it on the poll, Guillermo, at Levitard Show. Did Shannon Sharp hope that DK Metcalf did indeed enjoy the rest of his day? But DK Metcalf probably won't have the career that Shannon Sharp can throw down the career card on a whole lot of people, correct? But that doesn't mean that DK Metcalf can't object to whatever Sharp's criticism is. Unfortunately, in this one instance, he also called him little boy, which is not something I would ever do to Shannon Sharp.
But it might be something that you do if you're DK Metcalf, because everyone's little. But imagine someone like Shannon Sharp, when you remember him, he's kind of the guy that started the evolution at the position along with Tony Gonzalez. For someone to call him little boy, they better look like DK Metcalf.
Well, I mean, Shannon Sharpe famously somehow fitter than the guy he shares a set with. And you know, Bayless does 3 hours of cardio and eats chicken and broccoli only in his entire life. So,
but for the kids in the audience, it's pretty much a certainty that DK Metcalf, however great he may be, and he may have a career that has his name in the Ring of Honor in Seattle, he is not going to be as good at his job as Shannon Sharpe was at his.
I think DK is being a little sensitive here, but I also think that's a byproduct of your quarterback being downshifted from Russell Wilson to Geno Smith. Right? I mean, that's, if you're a receiver, that's frustrating. You're thinking, I'm not going to get as many targets or as many accurate targets in the coming weeks.
But that doesn't have anything to do with whether it was a dumb play or not.
It was a dumb play, but I think his reacting sensitively to being called out on it is a whole byproduct of the frustration right now. Seattle's not having a very good season, and the star quarterback just went out. And if you're DK Metcalf, it's a little bit of a downtime right now.
Let's talk for a second, though, about what this transaction is, right? When Cowherd or Shannon Sharpe or Bayless engage, or Stephen A. Smith or anybody engage one of these guys, that's good for business, correct? Every single time, without exception, if it's not going to be one of those things that gets you canceled, anything that brings attention to, oh, now I've been acknowledged, it's good for the brand of being Baker Mayfield is yelling about Colin Cowherd. Colin Cowherd doesn't actually care whether he wears his cap backward or not. But the wrestling elements of this, where you've got some of these media members being wrestling characters, because none of this is that serious. Shannon Sharpe and Skip Bayless have done that to great success. And many athletes, and they do this to Stephen A. Smith too, hate that the way that the platform is used sometimes is to drag athletes the way, in Shannon Sharpe's case, he probably wouldn't have wanted to be dragged, no matter how confident he was as a player, by a wrestling character on television trying to engage him for the purposes of, oh, I'm not a dumbass, you're a dumbass. Let's go back and forth. And now DK Metcalf, Shannon Sharpe wins. He wins on resume. He wins on television. We've forgotten about everything that happened with Julio Jones, because who cares about that, whether you're putting someone on air when you shouldn't be putting them on air. This is the job now. This is it. The job is, and Shannon Sharpe does it well. He was going to be our movie critic, but he only knew about a few good men.
I think it worked out for him. He's parlayed that failed audition into much better success.
Yes, he really has. He hitched himself to the Skip Bayless. That tree has paid some people.
Talking about the white guy, black guy tree? When the debate shows just become white guy, black guy? Yeah. No, it's a good job if you can get it.
It doesn't pay the women in the middle anything that wouldn't embarrass you if you heard it comparatively, right?
Yeah, comparatively, so, I imagine.
Comparatively, only comparatively.
A bit of a pay gap.
Well, that it's a funny construct when you talk about, I'm trying to figure out how to do it. White guy, black guy, and then asterisk, and woman who doesn't say anything in the middle. Or it's not allowed to have a woman not allowed to have an opinion in the middle. It's shocking whenever there's a strong opinion coming from the woman who is controlling these rambunctious cartoon wrestling
what
characters.
Was that? The person that really started that was actually Jay Crawford. It was a blue-eyed Disney prince of a man.
Cold pizza.
But he would always have opinions too and would be like, okay, cool, keep it moving. Now we seem to have gone backwards on that dynamic.
To the
point that anyone flashes an opinion, they go viral because it's like, wow.
She spoke.
Yeah.
I mean, that's pretty funny symbolically, is it not, given where we are just culturally, generationally, along the genders?
You know, it's funny. I don't call her the woman. I say, white guy, black guy, settle down. That's her role. Settle down. Molly is a great settle down. Right? You ever notice that?
She's very kind with the prompts to go to break.
Okay. Yeah. All right, guys. Okay.
It's a funny evolution, is it not? In 2021, after everything that we've gone through, it's not just one show. It's all of them.
Mm-hmm.
It's white. It's one of the reasons I am genuinely curious. I'm rooting for Stephen A. Smith. Always rooting for him to get paid and get more. But I'm looking at that show and being like, okay, let's see if America will absolutely embrace the same way that it has. And it's not white guy, black guy. It's black guy, black guy, black guy, black guy, black guy, Black guy, black woman, Tim Tebow.
Halo.
Progress.
But let's see. Yes, progress, but let's see if the formula, because it's Stephen A's show now. Molly's lost control. There's no telling him to settle down. It's over. He's over here on the NBA pregame show. He's got First Take. He's running ESPN. He's got a giant salary, twice as much as Gruden. Look what happened to him.
Yeah, I don't know if we can really glean anything from what the ratings have told us, which I think you mentioned that they've gone down since Max left. But this is a format change. The show has always revolved around two people that you would tune in every day. You kind of knew what their takes would be, and you would still like it.
It's Stephen A's show. He is on record saying, yeah, I ran Max off. That's not the show I wanted to do anymore. He's 54 he turned this week.
But it is a show he wanted to do. He wanted Skip Bayless.
He wants to do all the shows.
He wanted Skip Bayless back.
Yeah. He wants to do all the shows. Soap operas, Jimmy Kimmel. All of them.
Soap operas.
He's done soap operas.
He has a set General character. Hospital. It's a recurring character.
Yeah. He's done McDonald's.
It's a brick, right?
McDonald's commercials.
Yeah.
Movies.
Yeah, the Prometheus spots. Who could forget? By the way, have you noticed that Ronald McDonald has gone missing?
Yes, I have noticed that.
7 years.
Yep.
It's been 7 years since we've seen Ronald McDonald. Yeah. I don't know if it's the It movies. I don't know if just clowns just test poorly now. But Ronald McDonald, a stalwart of all of our childhoods. Whenever we'd go to McDonald's, we want to have a birthday party there, and we want our Ronald McDonald Happy Meals. No longer there.
And in meantime, the Burger King is bigger than ever. He's dancing, as if dancing on Ronald McDonald's grave. The Burger King is all over TV, dancing. It's just quite a juxtaposition. Startling.
Do you think it's related?
I do.
You think there's something involved with an abduction? Because the way that Mike phrased that is as if that Ronald McDonald is missing, that we don't know where he is. No one has said anything. There hasn't been a press release. There hasn't been a hostage statement of any sort.
I haven't even shown him. They have Ronald McDonald House famously. They would send Ronald McDonald to events. I haven't seen Ronald McDonald do appearances.
Well, here's another question. Where are the rest of them? Where's Grimace?
Yeah.
Where's the Hamburglar?
Where's Birdie?
Man.
Do we actually miss Ronald McDonald, though? I feel like we're just saying that.
I was
never a big Ronald McDonald guy.
What?
No. You guys, those chairs they would have outside the restaurants where he's sitting, that would creep the shit out of me. Are you kidding me?
I love those.
With his leg crossed. He got his arm out so you could sit
creepy.
Under his arm.
No, those were creepy.
They would get about 200 degrees in the summer. And burned my hand on those things.
Hated those chairs.
They're cheap material. Right, cheap material. Plastic red material.
I have nightmares about those chairs. I just wake up and I'm sitting next to Ronald McDonald.
I actually cut my head open on one of those chairs. Yeah, just lean back way too casually on Ronald McDonald as I was enjoying his very warm embrace. Clocked my head at the wrong spot.
I think there was a time that Ronald McDonald had a higher Q score than the Statue of Liberty.
I believe it.
No, if you were to put Ronald McDonald in New York welcoming people in, I think that not too many people would have had a problem with it.
That would be great.
Instead of the Statue of Liberty?
Yeah.
Ellis Island is the wrong.
It'd be so good to just have a giant clown to replace the Statue of Liberty with a giant commercial clown. We should do that.
Yep.
Here's the question, though. Would it be Ronald McDonald standing up, or would it be Ronald McDonald on a massive bench crossing his leg with his arm out so a giant could sit down and nuzzle its head against him?
I don't know. All right.
Good talk.
I'm reading up on it. MASH did a story on this.
MASH?
Well, you clearly read up on it before.
MASH? No, I saw it in a headline. And I'm like, oh yeah, where is Ronald McDonald? But I never actually clicked the story. There was a backlash on his marketing to kids. This is still semi
creepy as F.
Clowns.
Say it, Billy. Help you out.
Is that so? That's what it is. It's the petty vibe.
But most importantly, McDonald's did a makeover with their McCafe. I don't know if you've gone in. Well, you've certainly gone into a McDonald's recently, but as you know, there are more high tech, modern type things. Really leaning into the McCafe aspect of it, and a happy yellow and red clown doesn't really fit that aesthetic.
And there were no pedicure vibes because he wore large shoes.
Yeah. They've done away with a lot of their playgrounds, too. They caught a lot of shit. Supersize Me. Supersize Me really brought about a lot of change.
Well, the playgrounds, I think, was because of snakes.
Yeah.
That's why they got rid of the balls.
What?
The snakes could hide in the ball pits. So they had to get rid of the balls.
That would be terrifying. Just like I'm enjoying a nice day in the ball pit, and all of a sudden...
Yeah, that's a terrible... And now you're a kid? You're going to traumatize kids because you got snakes in the ball pit?
Yeah, you know what?
That's bad.
These kids are so soft. We went into the ball pit all the time. Didn't come out with any weird diseases. Mm-hmm. Didn't come out snake bit or anything like that. It was just a good time.
Speak to little Johnny in Iowa that's been scarred ever since he was 7 years old.
Well, you know what? Maybe natural selection got Johnny. How about that?
Oh, boy.
What?
That's right. If nature gets you, guess what that is? Natural selection.
Mm. Not if Ron McGill's around. You build a little nest and then you save little Johnny.
You're just in a ball pit. Natural selection? What do you mean?
Well, if it's a snake, that's natural selection. It's not like there was a murderer in the ball pit.
Yeah.
That's different, right? There's a murderer
like a
in the ball pit.
Yeah, Ronald McDonald.
But like a snake, man, that's not my fault. That's nature.
Yeah.
I was actually just reminded about this researching Ronald McDonald. Remember when there were Twitter videos of just creepy clowns? Like that was a viral thing.
Hello.
Clowns would just show up in the woods. Yeah. And so they kind of started phasing Ronald McDonald out.
It was internet pranks.
This just happened, okay? I think Ronald McDonald needs a send-off, does he not? It can't be a quiet retirement. Like Michael Caine over the weekend.
Ronald McDonald got canceled. That's what you're saying.
No!
The send-off for Ronald McDonald appears to be he only makes one appearance, and it's at the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade. I don't know if he showed up at the most recent one, because in 2019 he suffered a horrendous gash. Had to be taken out of the Thanksgiving Day parade on his leg. Hit
suspicious.
A tree.
Did you know there was a Ronald McDonald movie? The Wacky Adventures of Ronald McDonald.
Let's watch it.
I will. I shall.
Grid of Death?
Why would it be a Grid of Death?
How long is it? Is it like an hour and 45 minutes? A legitimate movie?
Well, I mean, hold on. Whose phone went off?
That's fine.
That's Greg Cody's phone.
I forgot to turn it off.
What was your guys' strategy in the ball pit? The only game you really play in there is just fully submerging yourself, right? So no one can see you. And then when they jump in.
Don't you throw balls at each other?
Yeah, if you have a friend in there. But I was usually on the solo mission. So what you do is you get fully submerged, and then you wait till someone comes in, and you scare them.
With balls flying off you all over the place.
According to Wikipedia, Ronald McDonald died in 2011, August 7th.
He didn't die.
Yes, Wikipedia.
He made an appearance in 2016. Was that zombie Ronald McDonald?
No, 2019, he said.
Ronald
right?
Carol no, McDonald, balloon. 2011, August 7th, aged Carol. 85.
Carol?
Off of Washington. Name. Did you know he was a janitor?
He was a creepy janitor working in the facility?
No, this was a convicted
around
child
kids.
Rapist. I'm sorry. This is bad.
What are you doing?
Jesus Christ.
No, that's bad.
Wow. Jesus.
That middle name was odd. I was like,
yeah.
I didn't know that Ronald McDonald's middle name was Carol.
That has to be a fine on principle.
I don't know what the fine is.
But it's just a fine on principle. Turning Ronald McDonald, the kid's mascot, into a convicted child rapist is a fine of some sort.
If the giant red clown shoe fits.
Some big shoes, man.
Hey everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
Whether you hydrate to live or live to hydrate, Liquid IV quenches your thirst faster than water alone. With 3 times the electrolytes of the leading sports drink plus 8 vitamins and nutrients for everyday wellness, all in a single sugar-free stick. Are you heading to the airport on a long flight? Or do you need something after your flag football game? Well, if I was you, I would definitely go with Liquid IV just for the electrolytes so you don't feel run down. And I know for me, Liquid IV helps me start my day in the morning, and it helps give me the energy to do stuff like cut my yard and wash my car and work out and just face the day. And you can get your energy back while drinking something that's delicious. And when I say delicious, you can pick from flavors like pear, white peach, green grape, lemon lime, and more. Liquid IV is non-GMO, free from gluten, dairy, and soy. However you hydrate, grab your Liquid IV Hydration Multiplier sugar-free in bulk nationwide at Costco, or get 20% off your first order when you go to liquidiv.com and use code DAN at checkout. That's 20% off your first order when you shop Better Hydration using code DAN today at liquidiv.com.
Don Levitard.
Mike Marty Schottenheimer passed away.
Stugatz.
Why do you sound so happy?
How did you say that?
Yeah, you're very excited.
That was the wrong tone.
I was not excited.
What happened?
I was merely pointing out that a Browns legend had passed away.
Hold on. That was unbelievable.
Guys, Marty Schottenheimer died.
Hold on.
And maybe the greatest coach to never win a Super Bowl.
Okay, I mean. Wait a minute. Let's just settle down. Let's all settle down.
Do you hear?
This is the Don Levitard Show with the Stugatz.
If you're like us around here, you sort of fell more in love with basketball when the 2010-2014 Miami Heat came to town, and a generation of kids in Miami grew up with that fun time where it's us against the world. Everyone is paying attention to LeBron, Dwayne, and Chris Bosh. Amin Alhassan has been a part of what we've done around basketball for a while. And while we make fun of his basketball opinions, people really value how he talks about basketball as someone who really understands basketball. And if you care about basketball, we'll teach you, even though, you know, the predictions might be funny and everything else. We've told you that knowledge of the game does not translate into knowing what's going to happen in the games. And so tonight, basketball starts again, and him and Tom are going to be doing a late night show. And if you want like really good stuff to teach you about basketball and what it is that you're watching, I'm promising you they're going to do an extraordinary job. I'm sure they'll be funny there as well. But basketball is something this show cares about, and Amin Alhassan has been in our world for a while, teaching us about basketball as a former Suns insider and somebody who really knows the game. So I wanted to ask you about two storylines headed into this season, not the normal ones that we go to. What is happening with the Phoenix Suns? They were right there, and they've got this center who's athletic, and everyone saw, oh, they're going to need to pay him because that and Booker with a little bit of Chris Paul get you really close. Fun team, emotional team. Phoenix is in love again with its basketball team, and there is pressure to give him the world as a player who's very good, but the sport, I don't want to say it's moving away from him because it's never going to move away from him, and he's a very serviceable piece who will get a lot better. But do you pay him and commit to, okay, we're going, Ayton and Booker are our big two, and that's what we're going to try and compete with championships for the next 5 years?
Yeah, so basically what happened was they offered him a deal of $120 million over 4 years extension. He wanted the max, which is $171 in that neighborhood. So it was a $50 million gap in the money he wanted and the money that they were offering. I don't know how much of it is a referendum on the evolution of the sport so much as it's an owner who's known to penny pinch. And, you know, basically he told DeAndre Ayton, you're not worth the max. And so now Ayton's in a situation where he's going to have to go out and earn it by playing well. Now, the good news is he's really good. And Chris Paul has a track record of making big guys look really good. So chances are he's going to, you know, absent injury, make that happen. But the interesting thing was, the other thing the Suns were facing was that they had to extend Mikal Bridges. Mikal Bridges, who was also really important for them in his role as a 3-and-D kind of guy, who fits perfectly, doesn't need the ball as much. They got him for $90 million. And the first thing I said was, that's a discount. That player right now is a $100 million-plus player, and they got him for $90. So the penny pinching, sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. It doesn't when you've got a guy who is a number one overall pick. And you know, Dan, you could say whatever you want about the lack of big men in the league, but count how many big men can do what he can do.
Oh, no, I didn't mean it as any kind of disparagement. I'm just marveling at how quickly, you know, at how quickly we've gone from Andre Drummond and Hassan Whiteside. Not that he is those players. He's absolutely not. But just how quickly the game is moving toward the perimeter, because that's where it's being rewarded. But I understand that he's a very versatile player for his size.
And not only that, but you can argue one of the biggest reasons the Suns lost in the finals was because they didn't have depth at center. Dario Saric, who is undersized anyway in terms of being a center, got hurt, tore his ACL in one of the first couple of games. And so it was Ayton, and when Ayton was out, remember they had Frank Kaminsky for the 1 second?
That was unbelievable.
It was the worst 1 second of basketball ever.
I think we all had the same reaction to, really, this is what we're doing in the third quarter of a finals game. We're launching Kaminsky into the game to see if he could get 2 minutes out there that don't slow everything down. But can you speak to the specifics of the penny pinching? Because this is your organization. Yeah.
So, obviously I worked for the Suns for 6 seasons. I saw up close. And one of the things, I'll tell you a great story that relates to this, right? Because part of the reason why they didn't pay Ayton is because they don't have to pay him. Not right now, not at least. Next summer, maybe a different story. When we were in Phoenix the year Alvin Gentry became head coach, midway through the season, we'd fired Terry Porter. Alvin Gentry's the head coach. And even though we didn't make the playoffs, we made a nice strong push, and we all kind of felt great about Alvin's our guy. We're going into the 2009-2010 season, and Steve Kerr, who is the general manager at the time, goes to the owner, Robert Sarver, and says, these guys have deals that end right before the lockout, the impending lockout. We all knew that, you know, there might be a lockout in 2011. So can we get their contracts guaranteed through at least that season? Just so that everyone feels secure that you're not going to be not making money when there's no basketball being played. And so Robert's response was basically, well, I'm paying all this money for Terry Porter. How do I know that this guy, Alvin, is the guy for the job? If you guys do a good job, then we'll see about it. So we're all right. So Steve Kerr goes back, tells the coaches, hey, this is the deal. He wants us to prove it. So, you know, I think that's a fair request. 2009-2010 starts, we're probably supposed to be 6th seed, 7th seed. That's what everyone's saying, the people who think we're going to make the playoffs. We end up being the 3 seed. We won 50-plus games, I think 55 or something like that. We had a great season. We go to the conference finals. We're a Ron Artest layup away from probably going to the NBA finals. It was a success by any metric. Steve Kerr, on exit interview day, says everything's great. I think we're going to bring everybody back. Everything's fine. Goes into his meeting with Robert and says, well, you wanted the guys to prove it. They proved it. Now let's get their contracts extended through at least that lockout. And Robert says, I don't really have to do that. I don't. He's like, oh, what are they going to do if I don't? They're going to quit? They're not going to quit. So I'm not going to do it. And that's why Steve Kerr left. Because he gave his word about something, and then
it's unpleasant. Like, but you've told in vague terms some of the stories, like, oh, these people don't handle business the way that business should be handled. That they're trying to get, what is that sound we had from the Phoenix City Commission meeting? Because they're trying to get they've got the emotion now behind them. I mean, because this is the way that you get arenas built. This is the way that you get taxpayers behind you, is to have the emotion of this team. But you're telling me that this owner is just going to squeeze every nickel out of it.
He has a reputation for doing that. And you're thinking about the city council meeting. They ended up getting the funding, by the way, and the new arena. The arena, it's not a new arena. It's a refurbished arena. It looks really nice. He's a guy. If you remember during the lockout, he was joking about taking the mid-level exception and buying his wife a new purse with it. And that was one of the headlines that ruffled the feathers of the players, because it felt like very talking down to them and all. I think he thinks he's doing sound business strategy, right? By squeezing, right? But the reality is, because of the nature of the business, you really don't have the leverage to do that, because A, you're angering the agent who represents a lot more than the guy you're talking to, and B, the reputation is out there. The reputation is out there that, hey, you're someone who is not as forthcoming with compensation as you should be.
I can't believe that we wrestled this sound away from ESPN.
Mr. Sarver has done nothing to improve this team in the 14 years he's owned it. He's never funded or bought two or three key players, which make any sports team, professional sports team, successful or on the road to success. He's so tight, he squeaks when he walks. And you have been negotiating with this kind of person? Shame on each and all of you. And upon you, Ed, I thought your principles were higher and better than this. We are not in the business of paying taxes to support private enterprise, and especially not an entertainment enterprise. They can support themselves or fail on their own lack of diligence. Don't do this to us again, and make your considerations and discussions with the private sector public. We fund this city.
Thank you.
It isn't funded by private enterprise.
Thank you.
Greta.
Cesar Tovar over here loved the line, so tight that he squeaks when he walks.
Yes, I did. That was fantastic. I wish I'd have said that.
Sarver, who are the cheap owners in the NBA? Mike, I don't know why Mike was texting me the other day that Fertitta's back in the game with cash.
Yeah, he's no longer the cash poor owner that everybody else laughs at. He made so much money during the pandemic. SPACs. He was first to it. Did you know that, Amin?
I did,
yeah. He's loaded now.
SPACs. Tom told me about SPACs, by the way. He's Tom Haverstraw, who I'm going to be doing the show with tonight. YouTube.com/Levitard and Friends. But just a quick Tillman Fertitta point. I told Mike this. Me and Zach Harper had to do a Rockets season preview from Houston. We went to their arena. They brought us players. They brought us a general manager, their coach. But one of the funniest things is when you're walking down the hallways of the arena down by the locker room, they have this huge mural of the two championship teams of Houston, Hakeem Olajuwon and Clyde Drexler stuff. Then they have another huge mural for the team that won like 27 games in a row with Tracy McGrady and Yao Ming. And then there is an equally huge mural of Tillman Fertitta. Just him holding a basketball, him with his family members, him smiling, him at a podium. And I was just like, wow, Dan, can you imagine, well, I guess that's a bad example. I was going to say, plastering your face all over your building. Then I looked around the studio and said, yeah.
Yeah, just it's exactly the same thing. Ben Simmons, that is one of, if you were to say storylines Amin is most interested in here.
We waited until hour two of the show to discuss Ben Simmons practicing with a cell phone in his pocket.
Oh, wow.
Looking disinterested as all get out.
This is what I said he should have done from the beginning. I said, in the NFL, when you're unhappy with your contract or your situation, you sit out. In the NBA, you show up because they realize very quickly, this is bad. This is bad having him here. Tell him to stay away. Jimmy Butler taught us that. James Harden taught us that. I mean, there's many different ways to be uncomfortable and awkward, but the reality is, if you make it uncomfortable and awkward, they'll either do a deal quickly or tell you to stay at home. And I think what makes Philadelphia a little different from every other situation where you have a disgruntled star is usually the disgruntled star wants to leave a team that's going to be bad when they're gone. Jimmy Butler left Minnesota, and they've been terrible ever since. James Harden left Houston, and they're in the middle of their rebuild. Anthony Davis leaving New Orleans. In this case, we got a guy. The team is a championship team. And when he leaves, they're still going to be a contending team. So Philly is really invested in, we've got to bring back people who are going to make our team better right now. But at the same time, he's 25 years old, so I need some stuff for the later as well.
What do you think is going to happen?
I think this is my theory. Daryl Morey is just waiting on Damian Lillard to say, I've had enough. Damian Lillard is in Portland. He refuses to demand a trade. The Blazers refuse to trade him because he hasn't demanded a trade. It's a standoff happening. What Damian Lillard, I believe, is doing is waiting to see how this is going to go. Because if it goes well, all right, I'm fine. But if the bleep hits the fan, then maybe it's time to ask for something. So if you're Daryl Morey and you know there's a chance Damian Lillard could come out and say, I want to get traded, you almost can't trade Ben Simmons until that happens because you know that's going to be the best offer that Portland will get.
Can you imagine just watching? I'm sure you guys have seen this. It's getting more and more ridiculous. Damian Lillard was making shots a couple of feet in front of half court, just just practicing them like you would practice from threes. Yep. He was just that far out. The symbolic idea of those guys being traded for each other when one guy doesn't want to shoot anywhere on the court and the other guy will shoot from everywhere on the court, and the idea that Simmons and Embiid are bumping into each other under the rim, and now the space that you'd have on the court is Embiid near the rim and Damian Lillard by half court. That's Daryl Morey's dream. That's why he took that job. That's why he ran away from Fertitta and China and everything else. And I thought he was going to do a musical play about, whatever, basketball play. And he ends up taking a great job, because if Simmons can net you, we were just talking about that being McCollum, not Lillard.
No, it'll never be McCollum. And they made that clear when Sean Farania reported that they asked for McCollum and control of your draft over the next 6 years. Basically, three pick swaps and three first rounders. And obviously that is a cratering type move. And Portland said no, because the reality is they don't want that. They don't want any of these ridiculous trade requests that they're asking for. They're waiting for, there's no player who might come available on the market who's a better fit for Joel Embiid and the Sixers than Damian Lillard. And you know the guy's not happy. So I get where Daryl is coming from, if that, in fact, is what he's waiting for. It's like, how can I trade basically the best trade piece anybody could offer for Damian Lillard before he comes on the market?
Tell the people about what you're doing tonight. Is it just you and Tom? What time does it start? Are you waiting for games to end?
Yeah, we're going to wait till the end of the game. We're going to have a cavalcade of guests coming in. I'm not going to name names because I don't want to box people in, but just we're going to keep it fluid and rotating and have some voices that you know and love. We're going to come on and we'll shoot the shit. It'll be about the games. It'll be about the start of the season. I think we're all excited. Basketball's
back. I'm excited about this. I'm excited about you guys having a late night playground where you can do some fun things that are going to entertain people, but also inform them, okay? Because right. I'm telling you, I'm not ashamed to say this, Mike, because we've had this tension. God, Amin has fit so well into our entire universe. He has fit so well with these things. And for a long time, we were struggling doing this dance at the beginning because, unlike Cody, he cared about how to fit with the group. And he always thought when he was bringing basketball takes that he was ruining the fun. And we're like, no, we want all of these things. We want to learn under the circus tent. So teach the people some things tonight, because you guys can do a very smart post-game thing on YouTube that analyzes the games that can also be fun.
Yes, we'll have the fun, because I know a lot of the listeners sometimes they get upset or irritated when we stray too away from the fun and it's just straight sports analysis. So we're going to do it in a way that's a lot more digestible than just a lecture that you might find in other places.
With maybe three or four Trulies.
White Claw.
Two Americas.
He's a Truly fan and White Claw fan, not me.
Two Americas.
Hey everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces. Fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.